Yes, thank you very much, all of you, for being here. It's certainly my pleasure to join all of you, and we thank you for selecting our presentation. We have a lot of great information for you. I have nothing to disclose at this time. And the brief objectives I have for my portion of the presentation, again, are to identify the challenges that we have in non-transmittable diseases on the border, identify some of the key determinants, address global diabetes, and discuss how the U.S.-Mexico Border Diabetes Project came to play over the last 10 years, and discuss the Robert Wood Johnson Healthy Kids, Healthy Communities Chamizal Initiative, and just to leave you with some recommendations that you all can take back with you to your communities. Again, what are our biggest challenges on the border in this regard? Certainly very high rates of diabetes, cardiovascular disease, obesity, hypertension, cancer, and comorbidities between not only these diseases, but also transmissible diseases such as tuberculosis, which Dr. Iturralde will discuss later on in the presentation. Again, and this is, I'm preaching to the choir here, but again, this model works from the bottom up, and it discusses some of the influences, the determinants of chronic diseases. Again, it begins at the global level, globalization, urbanization, technology, migration, and it moves along the continuum. Again, what are the environmental determinants that are social, economic, the physical infrastructure, education. It starts getting more specific in terms of behavioral risk factors, for example, tobacco use, unhealthy diets, physical inactivity, alcohol abuse, and then into biological risk factors, which people can't control, meaning, again, family histories, what have you. Some of these, again, can be worked with, so to speak, but again, biological risk factors are certainly part of the issue. And again, the chronic diseases being cardiovascular diseases, the hypertension, cancers, diabetes, and chronic respiratory diseases. And this is just to give you all an idea of where we are in terms of obesity as a nation as compared to other nations around the world. Again, if you can notice from the graph, it's in Spanish, but again, there's more than 24% obesity in the United States, which puts us neck and neck with Russia. And as you can see, it's we're up there, we're in the high category, so it's certainly something that we need to consider, as obesity is a factor in many chronic diseases. And just again to mention to you all, the U.S.-Mexico Border Diabetes Project was one of the biggest initiatives that this office has engaged in to address these types of issues. These are some of the partners that worked with the Pan American Health Organization in conjunction with the U.S. Centers for Disease and Control Prevention, CDC, and the Secretaría de Salud, or the Mexican Ministry of Health. And from beginning to end, this was actually a 12-year project from the beginning of the planning, the discussions, to the implementation, and to the end of the project, which closed last month. And again, these are some of the partners that worked on this project. The need for this project came about as ministers of health on both sides of the border noticed that there was very high rates of morbidity and mortality in relation to diabetes, and it was very alarming as the relatively young rate of the population, 25% of the population on the border is under the age of 30 years old. So again, it was very alarming what they were seeing. So they had to identify what the prevalence was on the border for diabetes. And this was a huge undertaking. It involved the six northern states of Mexico, if you recall from the graph, where Baja California, Sonora, Chihuahua, Coahuila, Nuevo León, and Tamaulipas, and the four U.S. Border states, California, Arizona, New Mexico, and Texas. So again, it was a very intense study that involved a lot of coordination, a lot of communication between health organizations on both sides of the border. And certainly for something like this, it was very, very important to communicate with all of the partners involved and be very open about how they were going to implement this project. So phase one of the project was the prevalence study, which involved looking at diabetes, prediabetes, overweight, obesity, again, the family histories. Then they also looked at some other attributable factors such as smoking, access to health care, certainly big issues that were very relevant to people on both sides of the border. And just to mention to you all, it's a lot of information that they found from this study. And you all, if we'll visit our booth up in the exhibit hall, they may still have some copies left in hard copy of the special issue that came out of the Pan American Journal of Public Health, which has a lot of the different papers that were published on this study in English and Spanish. And certainly all the studies are available on the website. So again, if there's a topic that you saw in there that's very relevant to what you do, please utilize this resource, and we invite you to take a look through it and read through it. Again, this is just some of the findings that they found. If you'll notice from the Mexican border states, there were very high rates of diagnosed diabetes. And on the U.S. side, there was again, diagnosed also and undiagnosed. So it was age-adjusted and just to compare what they found in the work that they did. And again, a lot of this work was done utilizing the services of community health workers, promotores, again, just really coordinating with who was available to conduct a study of this type in each location in which it occurred over the time that they had in which to do it. Again, some of their key findings, these three columns are from the U.S. side, and then these three are from the Mexican side, and it was men and women, and the study was looking at adults, and this is what they found. Again, high prevalence in women, both and women in the U.S. and men on the Mexican side, and again, it classifies it by underweight, normal, overweight, and obese. And again, all the details of the study are found in the journal. I wasn't very familiar with how the whole study played out. When I came to the organization, I came in as an intern, so this project was already closing. So what I'm able to share with you is what I've learned in asking and in talking, but certainly all of this has been recorded. And the project also has a great wealth of information that came as a result of it. There's documents highlighting how they did the studies, the questionnaires they used, the methods, the evaluation, all of that is available through the office. Okay, the second phase of the project involved, again, training, information, and dissemination. So based on all the information they found from prevalence, they thought, okay, now, how can we address all of these issues? So what they did was they conducted workshops with healthcare professionals and promotores. They held many community forums all up and down the U.S.-Mexico border, and they developed policy briefs addressing all these issues, specifically overweight and obesity, healthcare access and quality of care, and again, a lot of interdisciplinary team building, because a lot of what they learned from this process was that there is no one entity that can take this on alone. There needs to be a multidisciplinary approach in working towards eliminating all these issues. And so that moves us forward into the project that I currently manage. If you all are familiar, the Robert Wood Johnson Foundation earlier this year announced their recipients for their Healthy Kits, Healthy Communities project. And in El Paso, Texas, we are one of the 50 grantees. And we were very pleased about this. We were very excited because certainly what we've come to find in this project is, again, there's, as someone mentioned in an earlier presentation I attended, their strength in numbers. And we have learned so much from just communicating with the other grantees in the area that it's really helped us focus our efforts on how we can take what's being done everywhere else and bring it to our area. One of the first activities that we've engaged in this year, earlier this year we met with grantees. If you'll notice, we're geographically pretty close with Houston, San Antonio, and Grant County, New Mexico. We all met in El Paso, Texas for 2 days. And one of the things that we very quickly found was we were all facing similar issues, yet different grantees had different strengths that we could play on. For example, Grant County has a great farmers market system in place, and the state has done a lot towards dealing with childhood obesity issues. So we're learning from them about how they've implemented their policies, their city ordinances and policies and resolutions towards addressing these issues. San Antonio has also done a lot with city planning, which is also another strong point that we were able to draw from and get information from. And Houston has a lot of strength in terms of dealing with lawmakers. So what we all decided was, okay, we have a lot of the information in El Paso about dealing with Hispanic communities, the population, a lot of really good evidence-based type studies like the one that we've had here for diabetes. So how can we all pull our strength together and improve our region? So as a result of our meeting, we decided, okay, how can we work together towards state policy, which was a really great outcome of having networked with all of our other grantees in the region. So just to tell you a little bit about our project is based in the Chamisa neighborhood of El Paso. It's one of the oldest communities in El Paso, and it was selected because it brings forth a lot of the issues head-on that people meet when they're trying to work with these type of projects at a community level. There's not a lot of room for improvement in terms of community planning because, as we heard from the city, it's a grandfathered neighborhood and there's not much room to improve, and we respectfully disagreed and we said, well, you know, we can improve on what's already there. So a lot of what we've had to do is a lot of community building, relationship building. What we came to find was because it is a very recognized low socioeconomic status neighborhood that there was a lot of mistrust by the people from the local government. They felt many times they had been lied to and They are very aware of the fact that a lot of the funding for new projects within the city to improve the city goes to more affluent neighborhoods. And so a lot of what we've spent this first year doing is just repairing relationships. Again, going in with the neighborhood association and asking them, how can we strengthen you? Because you all are the residents of this community. And what kind of tools, what kind of training do you all need to help you all deal with the issues that you all know already exist within your own neighborhood? And again, as Ricardo had mentioned earlier, because that's what we can do with our strengths within the organization to help improve the neighborhood as a whole. So a lot of the aspect of the Robert Wood Johnson Project is working towards policy changes, as we know, that can lead to very important outcomes in terms of reducing these types of factors that affect, childhood obesity. And one of our first early successes was, again, bringing together all these other organizations within the city that we came to find were working on similar issues, along with the people of the Chamizal, and putting forth a city proclamation in honor of Childhood Obesity Prevention Week, which again started to build that relationship and repair the relationship between the city government and the people. It was a chance for us to show them that, you know, we are taking your concerns to city council and we are advocating for you, and now we're going to build your strength so that you all can do that for yourselves as well. So we were very proud of our city proclamation. And again, as recognized in a lot of the literature, it's of course recognized that intersectoral collaboration outside of health is required to achieve a meaningful impact in chronic diseases, which we're certainly seeing in the Chamizal, as we have two committees that meet on a monthly basis. We have an executive steering committee comprised of community members, foundations, for-profit organizations, nonprofits that meet to discuss the issues in the Chamizal, as well as a technical advisory committee of our universities, our scholars, so that we're meeting with everybody to try and make sure that we're on track and that they're keeping us focused on where we can make the change and make meaningful change and sustainable change over the 4 years that we have for our project. And again, after our project concludes, we're hoping to see increased availability of healthy foods, fruits, vegetables, whole grains, as we have identified that there's very few opportunities for this within the Chamizal. Again, we want to strengthen community participation in active living activities. We want to increase the media coverage of preventative measures of childhood and youth obesity and overweight. We want to support youth leadership and community advocacy. And at this point, I think it's a good time to mention, if you all are familiar with the international model of the Chamizal, Dr. Iturralde supports a group of Echo Club kids, which we're very proud that the first Echo Club in the U.S. is in the Chamizal neighborhood. And certainly you can go to the PAHO website and look up Echo Club and see what it's all about. But it's an opportunity for community youth to engage in improving their environment while conducting physical activity. They do community improvement, cleanup, and what have you, and it makes them more civically engaged and it fosters the leadership. So we're very proud that, again, the first one in the U.S., because it's an international project, is in the Chamizal. Thank you. And again, we have more information about that if you'd like afterwards. And again, we ultimately want to see policies that support healthy eating and active living and decrease the incidence of overweight and obesity of children in the Chamizal, and hopefully all of El Paso. Again, we selected the Chamizal because we had to work with the limitations that we have. We're two staff people plus our technical advisors within the office, and we have a four-year grant. So we thought, okay, let's use one anchor community to show the rest of the city how it's done. And that's why we selected the Chamizal. And again, just final recommendations from the Pan American Health Organization in general that you can take back with you are that chronic diseases need to be prioritized in the political and public health agendas. Surveillance needs to be strengthened and continued as it's a key component in this battle. And health systems must be reoriented to respond to the needs of people with chronic conditions and anticipate more outreach opportunities, really utilizing community health workers and all of the ability and the strength that they bring to help us reach the people where we need to find them in their own communities, and to recognize the essential role of health promotion, again, health workers in disease prevention. Whoops, there went my presentation. Thank you.